This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. Opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, March 27th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we ask, what exactly does that mean? Early on the other show, on the clock with Aaron Green, Aaron and I were having the conversation on access and the conversation on inclusion and exclusion and who's being included and excluded in Bahamiano. And we will continue that conversation, but I have one or two questions I want to ask Aaron to explain. What exactly does that mean, right? Aaron, are you there so we can start this conversation and we will include this access scenario on this side? Are you there?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Bahamas. I'm back.
You're good. So I'm going to start off with this. Recently, the PM suggests once Hannah Martin understands the RCI deal, she could have a change of heart. I'm going to read it again. It says the PM, this is the headline now for the Nassau Guardian. It reads, this is March 22nd. PM suggests once Hannah Martin understands the RCI deal, she could have a change of heart. And I ask you, Aaron, what exactly does that mean?
I'm going to be honest with you. It means that we're going forward with this. And I would hate for her to lose her seat in the cabinet because she don't want to go forward with this. I think that's what it means.
And I know we had a similar conversation about this before in terms of the procedures of cabinet, right? And that cabinet decided on this project. I'm now questioning, was she present when the debate happened? And how come she didn't, and when she made her utterance, and when she said, proclaimed that, hey, this can get me in problems. But I ain't agreeing with this. The idea that the Prime Minister, and I'm going to read it again, right, based on that, PM suggests, once Hannah Martin understands the RCI deal, she could have a change of heart. How come she didn't understand it the first time?
Well, what do you mean the first time?
Well, the first time she uttered and said she don't agree with it. So she did not either understand it then, or she did understand it and disagree with it. It's either or.
When was the first time? Explain to me.
Well, I assume that cabinet had a discussion about the RCI deal and they came to a conclusion. I assume, right? I assume that when the Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper said that the deal is on, we're going forward, it pending the environmental impact study, right? And I assume that when Glenys Hannah-Martin spoke, I think that's at a Rotary meeting, that she was quite aware already what cabinet had decided. She's quite aware about collective responsibility. She's quite aware of the implications of her uttered new comment, but she decided to make her voice clear and crisp so all can hear. So her leaders, her colleagues, and the Bahamas can hear. They said that I disagree with it. It's not good for the Bahamas. These are her words. It's not good for the Bahamas. And now the Prime Minister saying, again, if she understands the deal, or when she does get to understand the deal, she may change her mind. My point is, she didn't understand the deal the first time. It wasn't explained the first time. What does this mean, what the Prime Minister is trying to say?
Well, if you read the first sentence in the article, it says, PM Davis said his administration's deal with RCI for 100 million beach club on Paradise Island is, quote, fundamentally, close quote, different than the other one made under the administration. Maybe she didn't realize that the deal had changed. Fundamentally, so fundamentally that Brave Davis would have made a complete 180, but I don't think 180 is a sufficient descriptor. It's like, you know, when you're traveling east and then you realize you gotta go west, like he did one of those, he did a menace.
and
once he realized that the deal had fundamentally changed, I guess. I think that it's just an attempt at Brave Davis to find balance, both for to help Hannah Martin administration save face. In which direction that gaze is pointed, I'm not certain yet.
So should we anticipate and wait for Hannah Martin to change her mind when she hear an updated version of this deal?
No. She changed the stroke of a pen, but I don't think it will change her mind.
Interesting. But I have another...
See?
Go ahead.
There's a great question within here, right? Inclusion means that the voices that you represent in Eggleston constituency have, to some extent, a voice at the table. So do you take the stand on an issue you know is likely to pass whether you dissent or not? Do you take a stand on behalf of your people? Or do you take a stand to ensure that you can continue to bring your constituency's voices to the table? And so Hannah Martin, inclusion and exclusion, right? To whose benefit does taking this stand fall, right? Who will benefit from it? Will the constituents benefit? Maybe it is a constituency voice that she is representing. Will they benefit more from having this particular sentiment noted? Or will they benefit more from Hannah Martin's continued participation at the cabinet level?
I'll ask you this question, and the theme today is, what does this mean? And I have you answering, what does this mean, right? When Hannah Martin preempted her speech, this may get me in trouble. Then she proceeded that. She disagreed. What did that mean?
It means that she's aware of the potential penalties that she will face for making a statement.
So she might be aware of that the deal was changed, but decided to disagree with it anyway.
I mean, she could have. At the same time, she may be fundamentally opposed to the deal, and that nothing significant, I mean, that she didn't have to look at the details of the quote-unquote change plans. She's just fundamentally opposed to it.
I accept that. This is another question I have for you. What does this mean? There are about 26, 27 family of islands, or total islands, that have a large number of population. That Abaco has had a fire truck donated to them by private citizens, the Americans. They sent a fire truck to them, right? We know that they don't have a firefighting team employed by government. They have private citizens that learned how to operate the truck, right? And are volunteer firefighters to put out fires. We know that Bimini had a large fire recently where five homes burnt right out, destroyed. People lost everything. Of course, the Prime Minister flew over. Of course, the Member of Parliament for Bimini and West End flew over. And of course, they extended the services of social services and urban renewal, etc. My question to you is, who all family islands have fire truck? And is a fire truck important for the family islands?
Pardon?
I want to know if it's important. Because if it's important, if they would have had it, right? they could build an airport any minute. If it is important, they would have had it. So is a fire truck important for family island living? I don't even know if they have an ambulance there.
Mr. Neary, I appreciate what it is that you say, and I just want to point out the extent to which political culture has bastardized governance in this country. That you could even ask if a fire truck is important would suggest that politics have just taken over everything. Of course a fire truck is required. I can't understand how it is that we haven't boycotted all elections until these things have been put in place. Island, this is exactly it. Not just that, we've created an environment where I like to call them public-private partnerships. I've been told that that's not the correct term. But when foreign residents and investors partner with local people to be able to provide the essential services that government should be providing, we create an environment where there's a potential for a lot of citizens to be excluded from the decision-making processes that are now governing the space that they live in. That we would have to rely on this informal, this type of informal private-public partnership to, like, for instance, I read a wonderful story a few weeks ago about the Tour de Turquoise, a cycling race in Exuma that last year raised $100,000 to buy the senior high school bus for Ellen Coakley. Senior high.
You mean they had no bus?
They had no bus. But we having this and that at Bahama. We having four meets everywhere. MPs can't even tell you when the holes in the road will be patched. Cabinet ministers can't open up their mouth to say anything without being contradicted by the supreme leader. But we have foreigners providing the essential services in Family Islands. And if kisses go with favor, if there are no strictly adhered to policies, engagement, then what happens when this party gets voted out?
Listen to this text, Aaron. Said, I don't think islands like Inagua and Meguana need a fire truck. Texas sent that, by the way.
You think they think should just burn down?
Just burn it down. Just let watch it. Just watch it burn. That's what the text is saying. Just watch it burn. But
you know what the distance is between settlements and how long it takes to get to a settlement or to put together the resources to put out a fire without a fire truck? In fact, we now have a policy that if it's not going to affect other important buildings, then just let it burn.
That's what the man says. I mean, the text says, let it burn. They only have 2 tribute people on the island anyway. Let it burn. But this is a question about access and inclusion. There are people in the Bahamas who are prepared to exclude Bahamians because they are on the family island, the old islands. They're not a part of Nassau. Nassau must come first. Nassau must get the benefits. And of course, the family islands are not important.
I mean, I it's one of the saddest indictments, right? Not just because this is how we treat these residents, but because politician after politician after politician likes to regale us with stories about, oh, when I was a small, poor child and I had to swim 85 miles from Cat Island to the capital to go to school every day. This insincerity, this disregard for the extent to which family island determination drove you to the point where you go to all of these family island born residents, sit up in Nassau, enjoying this sweet life with people on the family island. They don't have proper clinics. They don't have ambulances. They don't have proper public transportation. They don't have proper banking systems. They can't talk to their cash. It is perhaps the most terrible indictment on the question of inclusion and exclusion in Bahamian politics and governance.
So we have
social and otherwise.
We have a few calls, Aaron, so I want to pass the caller through.
Yeah, man, take them
but
all. Whose
job is it to finance a fire truck? Should all the family islands go the route of Abaco and say, man, we have to get our own fire trucks. We got to get the foreign white people to do. But
government.
They ain't doing it. The money going towards parties at hotels for in the anyway. Patrick Collins, true producer.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Morning.
A couple questions. Is there an airport in Bimini?
Yes, they have to have an airport for the hotel. So they do.
Right, there is an airport in Bimini, right?
Yes.
So this fire happened where and when? I'm just clarifying something first.
It happened on Bimini.
Yeah. So the fire truck that's at the airport, is that the only fire truck on the island?
I do not know. But I've seen fire in the straw market where the airport fire truck left the airport and came to the straw market to assist.
The reason I said that, because I know that's kind of the routine sometimes on certain islands, where a fire truck, especially during certain times of the day, if there's an issue, the airport fire would leave and go start the fire. So if that fire truck that's at the airport...
Look where you're going, Carlo.
No, I'm asking a question.
I don't know. But look
because
where you're going.
If that's the only fire truck on the island and there's no fire truck for the settlement, and they claim that this fire truck wasn't working, how long was it not working for? And who knew it wasn't working, and how long did they know it? Because we can't wait till something disastrous happened before we decide to say, let me send some mechanic down there to see what the problem is. Because I'm sure somebody knew. So who knew and when did they knew, and who decided, well, that's not a priority for us right now? Because it's only 4 homes, you know, only 12 people out of, you know, living on the streets at this point. So if it was a hotel, would there be a bigger uproar?
There are hotels on the island, big hotels on the island.
Well, those hotels should be making noise, because if this fire truck that's at the airport isn't working, and God forbid something happens, who's going to put out that jet fuel fire? I thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. I have a texter saying that, good morning, Treasure Key has 2 fire trucks. I don't know about the rest of the settlement, but they have 2. They need to lend Bimini 1. But we have another caller here, Aaron. Go ahead, producer. Yes. Patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. Turn on your radio for me, caller.
Yeah, good morning. I'm waiting for you to come to me. You know, what's amazing? Pardon me. Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing to me, we are getting ready to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the independence of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We have a logo to say we're moving forward. I said forward, onward, upward, together, pledge our allegiance to the flag of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I would like to say we've been moving backwards in reverse for 50 years. Why are you telling me now that you're going to send a mechanic down there to see what happened to the fire truck after the fire over? Why are you going up there to see what damages were done when all of us on our phones was watching the fire right on WhatsApp while it was burning? And I know just about everybody in the Bahamas was looking at their phone yesterday watching the fire burning, because the people on the phone, when I was looking at them, saying, this happening now. I heard a man tell me on my phone, this is happening now. When we were growing up, Miss Green, what we thought, prevention is better than cure. When we joined the Boys Brigades and the Boy Scouts, weren't we told always be prepared, always be ready? After 50 years of independence, why are we still doing the same thing over and repeatedly? And when the citizens of the country start up and ask questions, they get mad at us. Didn't they tell us that they were our servants and we are the bosses? Or we only hear that on the campaign stage? After the election is over, do the servants turn into the bosses? And the bosses become the servants for the next 5 years? Because something is wrong. I must already say something is wrong. when the F of them mess up? Wait. Are we still a Christian nation? All the good stuff? You know, that good stuff, like we tell when we pick up the tourists in the taxi, bring them downtown, they sing this song to the tourists. We are a lovable Christian nation. That's part of the tour. We are a Christian nation. Where is the Christianity in this nation?
Okay, then, Sparky, let's respond to that. Where is the Christianity in this nation? And I see we have another telephone call there. Producer, just pass them straight through right now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call again once. Call again twice. Then patch me to the other caller there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, morning, CA, and good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, there.
Good morning.
You know, I think that if we had these family islands to which the president and minister who's responsible for local government saying that they're trying to work on the family islands first, right? If they had an event system, then a lot of these problems would be alleviated, because if they were properly funded, then they could address the needs of their islands without waiting on central government for approval. You see what I mean?
So yes.
That
absolutely
is the problem, is that everything is so centralized, and you have to wait on the central government to send a mechanic. You got to do this and that. And, you know, all the time, Rome is burning. So that is, I think, is what has to be addressed. And I hope the president, minister responsible for local government would really give these local government the funding that they need, or allow them to use to raise the funds within, you know, to take some of the taxes that are being raised on their island to fund whatever is necessary. Thank you.
Without a doubt, sir.
Thank you.
No, absolutely.
So, Karen, the caller saying local government will give the family island access. And at this present time, the family island do not have access to the benefits that New Providence has. In fact, they're being taken advantage.
Nuri,
go ahead.
Pause. Mm-hmm. Language is so important. We cannot ever suggest that a fire truck is a benefit. Okay? It's not a benefit of central government. It's not like, okay, when we go back to the article I mentioned earlier, PM disturbed by Smith's claim, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote from that article. Prime Minister said that in opposition and in government, he had supported Smith's, that Smith had an executed lease for the Crown land at Paradise Island where he wants to develop it. He said he later learned that Smith did not. Quote, so I allowed his case to go through. Close quotes, Davis said. Look, I wonder, that quote, how could Davis one be responsible for that? Is there not a process? Did he have to thwart that process to allow it to go through? And does that mean that any sitting prime minister sitting around a table and saying, oh, they'll get fire truck when I think they're ready for the fire truck? Is that what is happening in governance in the Bahamas?
Our prime minister used the word I often and a lot when he speaks in terms of making decisions where one would assume cabinet would have made the decision. So that tells a tale, right? But Aaron, we have another
Not even cabinet. The language and the framing of the statement suggests that even the technical information is not a definitive statement. I can still, seeing the technical information, make my own decision. That's what it suggests.
Mm-hmm. But let's go to this next telephone call. Producer Patrick, call us through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? That's gone. I have another news story that I want you to comment on. What does it mean, right? What does it mean? Recently, Aaron, the prime minister and a group of dignitaries flew down to Cat Island. There was a big ceremony announcing that Cat Island, everybody celebrated. I, too, celebrated that finally Cat Island's going to get a new airport. It's well-deserving. they had a groundbreaking ceremony where they had the prime minister and others shoveling dirt, saying construction, I assume that's what when you do have a groundbreaking ceremony, that construction is following. Then in the news, we see the headline says, the prime minister will borrow money soon to build the airport. What does that will borrow mean?
That means Cat Island come before Exum and Alphabet.
But no, but what does a groundbreaking mean?
The groundbreaking means, dear Cat Islanders, trust me, I'm going to figure this out. We need an airport right away. I don't know where the money's coming from quite yet.
You don't know where the money coming from?
But we starting this.
We starting something?
I'm still waiting, Mr. Nuri, to be honest with you. I'm still waiting to see a verification, right, of that. I can't believe that. I can't believe that they broke ground without any funding being outlined in the budget.
Aaron, the headline said they will borrow the money. They ain't borrowed yet. They ain't secured the money yet, Aaron.
I still don't believe it, Mr. Newry. I still don't believe it.
I don't know what to say, Aaron. The headline said they will.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you see footage from the stadium this weekend?
We can talk about that. I did. I posted some footage of the stadium. And we know that Karifta is less than a full 2 weeks away, right? But we see that the construction that is needed is about 9 months worth of construction still pending. What does that mean, Aaron?
You know that song, Spongy Money?
It said never done?
That's a lie.
What's the money?
Which is implied in the song.
You mean the money? Like, I hope people the money have, done, Aaron? You're saying that's what's happening? The money done?
It has to be, man, Mr. Nuri. It has to be. There are too many talented, well-skilled, experienced, and exposed people in this civil service right now. There's so much talent that has been able to work through crisis, work through the most extraordinary circumstances like pandemic. It can't be them. It cannot be them. It has to be a lack of money and proper planning.
I think the Prime Minister was not advised, was not told about how bad the stadium was when he went and volunteered the Bahamas to host Karifta, the IAAF games, the Bahama games. I think he was not aware. I know that during this track meet that they had for nationals, that he and others, officials, were present. I'm not sure if they saw the extent of work that needs to be done, that there's still debris falling from the roof. There's still places that is showing iron and that it needs to be plastered, that is in the stadium. It seems to be loose and is about to fall down any minute now. I'm not sure that he saw this, right? And I ask you again, what does it mean? Should we be in a panic for when Karifta happens? Or should we just cast a blind eye and say, man, don't worry, we'll be ready for the Bahama Games. Or we'll be ready for IAAF, whatever the right calling name for.
Listen, panicking isn't going to help anybody. You know, I saw some wonderful images from Andrew's constituency where Honorable Lundy is in charge. They finished up construction, I think the rough work, some of the bleachers installed on the gymnasium there. It's April. That gives us April, May, June, July, 4 months of training before August. It's cool because this would be a long-term construction, right, to be used for years and years after the project. But I think this also speaks to our title, exclusion and inclusion at the policymaking level, right? And I'm going to suggest that I think that what's happening here is a very, very small, like a pea, you know, the pea and the princess and the pea story.
Yeah.
A very small thing, like a lack of proper and properly timed communications causing a whirlwind of problems. For instance, I think this may be similar to what I think happened in the turn left on red saga. You know, it's illegal to turn left on red everywhere but University Drive and onto University Commons, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can only turn left on red where there is a sign indicating you could do that. One of the latest statements that the senior officer, I don't know his exact ranking, but senior officer Davey said that they are recommending that the government put up signs where you cannot turn left on red, right? Which suggests to me, coupled with the lack of actual enforcement over the last 4 years almost now, coming up onto 4 years, that maybe this is a simple matter of a lack of communication. And those people who passed and tabled and passed and debated and gazetted the law didn't take the time to properly consult with the elements and agencies responsible for enforcing the law and ensuring that the signs, the necessary signs, are erected. This may just be on a go slow. And I wonder if the same thing has happened where, with all of the turmoil in the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture related to particular investigations, maybe people are in a state of frustration and are like, how could you have possibly signed the Bahamas on for Carifta, Relays, Bahama Games, another thing, and you haven't come and spoken to us about the resources we need to fix the stadium? What if on the table they had said, we can no longer patch this building? It does not make sense to throw good money after bad. It's time for a proper overhaul, and the government's just ignoring them. Is this a matter of the result of exclusion and a lack of accessibility within these departments and ministries?
And Aaron, you still say there's no need to panic. And other family islands who don't have any fire trucks available shouldn't be in panic. That the people who will attend this Carifta Games should not be in a panic in terms of...
No, just look up and make sure you're sitting somewhere safe when you go to the games. In terms of Bimini and these family island issues, right, Nuri? It's no, don't panic. Panic helps no one but those who are already winning in this situation of chaos. Bimini in particular is a very interesting example because there are a lot of successful people living in Bimini.
Yes.
There's a lot of money in Bimini. Now, the article in today's Guardian says that residents complained that the homes could have been saved had the island had a working fire truck. Don't panic. Sit down and figure out how you're going to get a working fire truck.
They knew what Treasure Key did. By the ocean. Okay? They have rich
what you going to do?
They need
what
a lobby.
What are you going to do? You're going to sit and complain and wait for the prime minister to spend money to come and see you versus sending resources down for you like a fire truck?
They need to get their own fire truck. They need to lobby the rich expats that live there to donate a fire truck because the government will not finance it.
No, they got to lobby themselves who have plenty money to buy the fire truck and to establish a fund to send volunteers and or residents to international fire training academies to ensure that they always have the resources they need on the island. I don't understand why in the contractual relationship between that the big hotel isn't required by law to have available outside of the airport fire truck, a working fire truck and a skilled trained fireman, at least two, in case of fire.
They need to lobby the big hotel then. Ask them to send a used fire truck.
You lobby your government to make it law.
Man, that ain't gonna happen, man, Aaron. Look how long they've been living without it. The people of them know the fire truck don't work. And they still ain't fixed it. And you want them to lobby the government still? They need to take initiative now and start begging for money. Let's get this fire truck. Get one, use one. Get one, use one. You ain't got to buy a brand new one. Just get a secondhand one. Or one Japanese one or some sort. So this text says, great show as usual, Miss Green. You said, don't turn left on red. I was waiting at the red light the other day and the police tell me that I should go. They they just tried to set me up. But I think I smiled.
Dear texter, you call your insurance agent. Okay. If the police tell you to turn left on red, anyway other than University Drive and University Commons, tell them, please put on your emergency flashing out of your way because you have an emergency, because that's the only condition in which I could do that is if an emergency vehicle requires me to clear the intersection for them to get through.
I see a text here that says, morning, CA, Sir Sydney Poitier Airport in Arthurstown. I didn't even know that was near Sir Sydney Poitier Airport. At Arthurstown Airport in the Bight, Cat Island, greatly needed for economic growth and development for a better Cat Island. The Bahamas have plenty of economic potentials like heritage tourism on Cat Island. And he's saying that's a reason for the airport. But here, I'm going to take a quick... Go ahead.
We get the reason for the airport. Ain't nobody dissing the airport at all. Ain't nobody saying family islanders should just sit in line and wait for their turn. That's the opposite of what we're saying. We get why Cat Islanders are excited and demanding this airport. We get it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break now. I'm going to read this text to you as we're going to take the break. It says, I have four words for every family island. No taxation without resources. This has been Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. The Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm with Aaron Green today as we discuss and explore inclusiveness and exclusiveness and who needs to be included in the benefits and what is entitled to them for being Bahamian. And we had a range of examples where we're asking, what does it mean, right? What does it mean that family islanders do not have fire trucks? Or what does it mean regarding the airport that they will borrow the money soon? What does it mean that the stadium has at least 9 months worth of work still pending and knowing that the Carifta Games is less than 2 weeks ago? You know, and we're asking about access. Is the correct amount of access, is the correct amount of inclusiveness being afforded to Bahamians? Or there needs to be an intervention and correct what is happening. And that's why I'm asking Erin, what does these things mean? And she's giving her interpretation on this. Go ahead, Erin. What do these things mean?
I think the political class has run amok, right? I think there's some very simple things. You have created an office of the Deputy Prime Minister. Now, it wasn't a recent creation. You met it happening, right? Deputy Prime Minister. The person has a special car, right? They got a driver. They have other special elements added into that. But here we live having a conversation where we are telling out island residents in an archipelago, cheapest you figure out how to buy your own fire truck and how to train the people to work on it. We got family islands like Eleuthera and Exuma who are experiencing grand development. The contributions by foreigners is so spectacular that it's allowing Bahamians to imagine and realize every other dream that they have. But we have foreigners buying fire trucks and school buses for children on the family island. And who benefits from that?
So I still see that it doesn't seem like you want the foreigners to buy us our fire truck.
I don't. They're lovely. They're awesome. We appreciate it. We more than appreciate it. We extend our communities to them. Even in the face of cultural practices that we don't accept, like homosexuality, we tell them, look here, come and have fun, man. Right? Because we know that we cannot rely on central government to provide the most basic of elements like healthcare, inter-island transportation. Island transportation.
I have another text here saying, have you been to Bimini? It's a wonder that more houses is almost touching the necks. Also, they need a makeshift fire truck because the real fire truck can't fit in all those small Bimini roads. That's interesting too. And to consider, perhaps if we do get a fire truck donated, it's still hard work because it can't fit on Bimini roads.
The nature of the the setup suggests that they need an intensified plan. They need more assets available to them and that they need different types of assets available to them. That's all. But that's it. These are easily solvable problems if you think that they are problems that need to be solved.
This question is asking, whose idea was it to host Karifta? The idea is we in a jubilation ceremony, right? And this was a part of our jubilee celebration to host it. It's just that I don't think that the Prime Minister was advised at how bad the stadium was. And in his desire, in its need to have this celebration, I think that we miscalculated. And they didn't warn us or warn him in time, said, Mr. Prime Minister, it's going to take longer than we think. And as we try to facilitate and spend the money, we realize that we perhaps bit off more than we can chew. But it's too late now. We have 10 days, right? We need to start giving some ideas on what we can do to have the stadium adequate enough that Bahamians and foreigners alike, who's coming down to participate, could attend this Karifta games safely and securely whilst they're here. So that should be the conversation. What can we do to help?
I mean, absolutely, absolutely, Ms. Henry. Let's push forward. AI, the problems and the solutions, and let's push forward. I just have a sous-son, like a pinch of, I don't even want to call it pettiness. I had this show about 9 months ago, maybe even a whole year ago. With all of the events that were announced, when will the preparation begin? Where does the budget fall? How is the work going to be implemented or staged out, right? Considering the limitations that the dynamics of the budget represent. We've had time to think about it.
Yeah. But then we get a call. Let me see if I can patch this call through before we go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing? Turn on your radio and go ahead.
I will, sir. Give me 1 minute. How you doing today? All is well?
Yeah, all is well, man.
I totally agree with you guys. When we realize that it's our 50th anniversary, we should have our things mobilized and ready to go. To crack of this new year, like you all keep saying, billboards. I travel a lot. I do. I honestly do. Travel to China a lot. There are billboards saying stuff like, I will respect my elder, my old people. I will respect one another. I will do no harm. All these sorts of stuff, they got posted all over the place. And if we want to take our country to the next level, we need to elect mayors or governors to run these islands. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see, because if we have a situation like in Abaco right now, let the mayor deal with that. Central government doesn't need that. Central government, if the mayor needs help or the governor needs help, he come and call the prime minister and say, guess what? We need this and we need that. Let me raise funds or let me do things to get the fire engine down there. Let me do things that I could get. A few of states in the United States of America would allow cheaper taxes for companies to come in and do all these type of things that you want to do and build your state. We could do that with the family islands. I'll listen to what you have to say about that.
No, I appreciate the call, sir, and you're absolutely right, sir. Aaron, we have 2 minutes. And in this 2 minutes, I want to discuss again the 50th anniversary and with your ideas. You know, I always say that you have ideas that I need you to hash it out. We have a promotional advertisement inclusiveness problem in regards to what's happening with the 50th anniversary celebration. Not enough people are participating. Not enough people are aware. Not enough people are involved, right? I need a solution. I ain't complaining about it. No, I just need
a solution. No, let's just put solutions out there and get it going.
What we can do to get more people up and running, because it should have been thousands out there. I need.
Listen, you see that boy, the bubbler, that's Quay the bubbler. Mm-hmm. I did one skit with him one time, and he said he was sneaking in the house. He said, I have to go. I think I get gas in my elbow. I almost fall out and get us all locked up. You see the woman who when they ask if she can take the COVID test and she snort and say, no, I got sinus, I can't be doing them kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know, the two of them, they should have been hired from last year. They should have been Mr. and Mrs. Bahamas. They should have been the ambassadors elected to go across the archipelago. There should have been competitions where you could join them, like on a one-day jaunt or a half-day jaunt to another family island, to join the team to rally up the troops. There should have been an initiative, the same identical initiative in each island. We could all be doing at the same time, and then you get your social media influences. You see, Uncle Sarah is the best weatherman at Justice Gardens News. The sea's always 2 to 4 feet. He should have been.
Anyway, it's been Guardian Radio at AM. Have a wonderful day.